الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه بلغ الرساله وادى الامانه ونصح للامه وجاهد في سبيل الله حتى اتاه اليقين. اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. الا وان كل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide, and whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to go astray, there is none to guide the right. يحكى أن مقاتل بن سليمان وكان من العلماء الزهاد دخل على خليفة المنصور يوم بويع بالخلاف فقال له المنصور يا مقاتل عظني اعطني نصيحة صرت الخليفة الآن فأعطني نصيحة حتى أسعد في الدنيا والآخرة. فقال له أنصحك بما سمعت أم بما رأيت؟ أنت عاوز شيء أنا سمعته ولا شيء رأيته بعيني؟ فقال لا انصحني بشيء رأيته. فقال المقاتل يا أمير المؤمنين إن عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله ترك 11 ولدا عنده 11 ولد وبنت يعني الأولاد ولما مات ترك لهم 18 دينار لكل اللي ترك اشتروا بتسعة دنانير قبرا وكفنا وزعوا تسعة على الأولاد فكل واحد من ال 11 وصلوا أقل من دينار واحد فقط وإن هشام بن عبد الملك ترك 11 ولدا نفس العدد كان خليفه برضه زي عمر بن عبد العزيز. ترك 11 ولدا وترك لكل ولد 1000 دينار يعني مليون دينار. يعني ترك لهم ملايين. فقال والله رايت في يوم واحد احدا من اولاد واحد من اولاد عمر بن عبد العزيز يخرج 100 فرس في سبيل الله. ورايت في نفس اليوم احد اولاد عبد الملك ابن هشام يتسول الناس في السوق تمام. So in this beautiful story مقاتل بن سليمان he entered the court of الخليفة المنصور the day he became a خليفة and he came the people came to pay allegiance to him. So الخليفة المنصور told مقاتل was a big scholar. So he told me give me a good نصيحة good advice. So he said, do you want a nasiha based on something I heard or something I saw? So he said, no, 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 give me a nasiha based on something you saw with your own eyes. He said, well, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, who was a khalifa, when he died, he left 11 children. And he left for them 18 dinars. They used 9 dinars, half of the money, to buy a grave and a shroud for him. And they distributed 9 dinars among his children. So each child got less than 1 dinar. And Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, who was also a khalifa, died and he left 11 children, the same number of children, and he left for each child 1 million dinar. And he said, Wallahi, on the same day, I saw one of the children of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz giving for fi sabilillah 100 horses as sadaqah, and I saw one of the children of Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik who got more than 1 million dinar in inheritance, each one of them. Wallah, I saw some of them begging people for sadaqah in the streets. Why? Because we think the best way to secure the future of our children is money. Alhamdulillah, if we leave the money, it's a good thing. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنك إن تذر ورثتك أغنياء خير من أن تذرهم عادة يتكففون الناس. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says it is better for you to leave your children children well off, alhamdulillah, you need money for them, it is better than leaving them poor and destitute, begging people for money. That much we know. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam يقول إن أفضل ما نحل والد ولده هو أدب حسن. الحديث في مسند الإمام أحمد وفي الترمذي. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the best gift and the best legacy you can leave for your children is good manners. This is the best thing you can leave them. Some of us assume because we are good people, we came from good families, alhamdulillah, we pray all the time, we read Quran, we say our namaz, alhamdulillah, our children will be automatically good. If this is your thinking, you think your children will be as good as you are without taking the effort to teach them about Islam and the different things we'll talk about, all you need to do is to read the story of Nuh alayhi salam and his son in Surah Nuh. There's no need to get into the details, but the story is there in the Quran. So, as I said, the best thing you can leave for your children is to teach them Islam. Don't assume that they will be good just because you are good, or because sometimes you bring them to the masjid, you know, to pray and all these things. You have to teach them. You have to prepare them for the future. And Islam and good manners, this is the best thing you can leave for your children. We are not in a Muslim country. And the bad influence is everywhere. So you have to prepare them for the future because they are the ones who will carry Islam and will carry the message after we leave this dunya. So make sure, alhamdulillah, you leave them a good legacy. It is hard to change our children when they grow older, when they are 7 or 9 or maybe 5 or 6. It's hard to change them. Once they get used to something, it's hard to change. So make sure as soon as they start to speak, you teach them something about Islam. You teach them Salah, you teach them some Quran, teach them some manners. Quran is a man, Qissa, Aznara, Qasida, Mashura, Ahmed Shawki. Qasida, تقول بين الحديقة والنهر وجمال ألوان الزهر صارت مها مسرورة مع والد حال الأمر فرأت هنالك بين نخلة معوجة بين الشجر فقالت يا أبي هيا انتظر حتى نقوم عودها لتكون أجمل النظر فقال والدها لقد كبرت وطال بها العمر ومن العسير صلاحها فات الأوان ولا أفر قد ينفع الإصلاح والتهذيب في عهد الصغر والنشء إن أهملته طفلا تعثر في الكبر. So this point that we memorized a long time ago, it says that if you don't teach your children akhlaq and make them good Muslims when they are young, when they grow older, it's very, very hard to change them. It's impossible. They go to public school, they teach them things, and their friends, it's hard to change. But once you teach them when they are young, it's now part of their system, part of their routine, it will be easy, you know, to guide them on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But if you don't teach them anything when they are young, you don't teach them Quran or anything about Islam, and they grow older, and you come to complain to me, oh, my kids don't pray, my kids don't fast, my kids don't respect me, what can I do for you? It's too late now. And sometimes, when you try to change them when they are older, come with me to the masjid, or do this, or do that, some of them, they will become so resistant, they might call 911, oh, he's pushing me around. And we get scared because we're not originally from here. Some of you still are permanent residents or in a visa, but as soon as your kids are born, they have their status, they have more rights than you. Maybe you realize this when you go to some airports. Your kids have the Canadian passport, they will live in passports, and you go to the back of the line. You see the treatment. So you have to teach your kids when they're young. And don't wait until it's too late and you come to complain to the sheikh. Oh, the sheikh didn't do a good job. I'm not a superman. I don't have a magic wand. You think if I hit your kid once or twice, oh, he will be a changed person? I can't. So you have to start from a very young age. Look at the sunnah of the Prophet. You will realize that the Prophet was teaching kids at a very young age three things. Number one, in المعتقدات والعبادات يعني العلاقة مع الله عموما ونعطي أمثلة الله، والعلاقه مع الناس، الاخلاق والمعامله الحسنه، كان يعلم الاولاد من سن صغير ويعلمهم القدوه. ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان قدوه امامهم، فهم تلقائي يتبعوا خطواته ويمشوا خلفه. So if you look at the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was teaching children from a very young age three things. Number one, he was teaching them how to have a better relationship with Allah. And number two, how to have a better relationship with the people, akhlaq. So the first one is ibadat, the second one is mu'amalat, and number three, how to lead by example, the qudwah. So if you look at the first one, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, we read in the hadith, in Musnad Abi Dawud, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مروا أولادكم بالصلاة لسابع وضربوهم عليها العشر. We read in the authentic hadith in Musnad Abi Dawud, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, teach and command your children to pray at the age of seven. And of course, you give them training before seven. They are required to pray at seven, but you train them before. And he said, discipline them if they don't pray at the age of 10. Also in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, it's a famous hadith, it's Ayat al-Midi. Hadith ma'ruf kuntu khalfa al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa tifl saghir. فأقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا غلام احفظ الله احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، إذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لن ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك، وإن اجتمعت على أن يضروك بشيء لن يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. وهو طفل صغير عنده خمس ست سنين لسه صغير ما يعرفش حد. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was a little kid and he was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this is in Sahih Tirmidhi. And he said that the Prophet ﷺ taught me things. And he said, O young man, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will always be there for you. If you want something, ask Allah. And know for sure, if all of humanity were to gather together to benefit you with something, they cannot benefit you except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And if all of humanity were to gather together to harm you, they cannot harm you except with something that Allah has written against you. He's a little kid and the Prophet is teaching him aqidah and his relationship with Allah, and he is teaching him salah and these different things. And so on and so forth. The examples are so many. وتجد في باب المعاملات والاداب والاخلاق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلم الاولاد الصغار. So in the authentic hadith, you will see the Prophet teaching children akhlaq. In the hadith of Umar ibn Abi Salama in Bukhari and Muslim, so Umar ibn Salama was eating with the Prophet. He was the son of Umm Salama and he was the stepson of the Prophet. So he was in the house and he was eating with the Prophet and he was all over the place. He was eating from here, from there, and he was jumping over the plates. So the Prophet said, Ya ghulam, sammi Allah wa kul bi yameenik wa kul mimma yaleek. So the Prophet said, O young man, say Bismillah and eat from with your right hand and eat from the plate right in front of you. So he was teaching him at a very young age. He was a little kid. In the hadith, in Musnad Abi Dawud, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the examples are so many. You have Sahih Musnad Abi Dawud, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, من لم يوقر كبيرنا ويرحم ويعطف على صغيرنا. الحديث ايضا في الادب المفرد البخاري. In this authentic hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ says, He is none of us who doesn't show respect to our elders and who doesn't show mercies to our children. So the Prophet ﷺ is teaching the elders and the young at the same time. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala children. In the Sunnah Hadith, one of the Sahaba, he said, when I was 5 or 6 years old, I was when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he sprinkled my face with water to make me laugh. And there are so many examples. We can't give all the examples, but the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was leading by example. And the Sahaba were there, the children of him, and they saw him and they were around him all the time. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar, there are so many stories. The same way with our children today. As I said, we live in a non-Muslim country, and our children, they go to public school, they hang out with non-Muslim kids, they hear stories about boyfriend and girlfriend and the drugs and all these things. If they have some akhlaq, they will be able to resist to a certain degree. But if they don't have the educational or the religious background, it will be easy for them to get lost. And I hear stories, wallahi, I can tell you stories that break your heart, but I can't. They are so miserable stories, I can't give you the stories. But we have problems with our youth, and the parents, they come and they complain. So we have to lead by example. We have to show our children what it is to be a good Muslim, proud of your faith. We have to lead by example. We know, everybody knows, that when your kids are young, they're like a sponge. They absorb anything they see. If they see you pray, you will see them all the time coming to you. They stand behind you in the line and they pray like you. And they make mistakes all the time, but they learn. If they see you doing something wrong, this is what they will do. If you smoke in front of them, you shouldn't be surprised when you see your kids smoking a cigarette butt. Because they just follow your example. If somebody lies in the house, especially the parents, you'll get a bunch of liars, small ones, in the house. Because they imitate, they absorb. When they come to the masjid and they see us not behaving in the right way, we're raising our voice, we're screaming at one another when we have an argument, this is exactly what they will see. And a few days ago, I gave the example about the etiquette of disagreement with someone. And I gave the story of what happened in a community in, I think, Houston or Dallas, Texas, in the U.S. several years back. The first day of Ramadan, the two major ethnic groups in the community, in that community, were Indians and Pakistanis on one side, and you have the Arab community on the other. And the first day of Ramadan, they disagreed on how many rak'ahs they are going to pray for Taraweeh. The Arab brothers, alhamdulillah, they wanted to pray 8 rak'ahs and go home and, you know, relax. The Pakistani Indians brothers, they wanted to pray more, the 22 rak'ahs. So what they did, basically, they had a fight in the masjid. Baseball clubs and chairs and weapons of mass destruction, all these things. So as they were fighting and falling down and some were bleeding, it was a disaster. One of my friends, he was an imam, and he told me the story. It's a true story. And I'm sure the first day of Ramadan, everybody excited, and half of the masjid were youth and children. So somebody decided to put an end on the fight. What he did, he called the police. So the police came, 2, 3, 4 officers, and they started to walk on the carpet with their shoes. So both Arab and Indian and Pakistani brothers, they got mad at the police. You have no respect for the masjid because you walk on the carpet with your shoes on. So fighting and bleeding on the carpet is not haram, but walking on the carpet with your shoes is haram. So this is the kind of example we teach our children. So we have to lead by example. I'm sure we have a lot of challenges, we have a lot of difficulties, especially when we talk about the parents. The fathers, they usually have to work, they are out most of the time. The sisters, they are busy. Some of them, they don't have the resources or the educational background to take care of the kids. Many of us don't speak good English, and our kids go to Canadian schools, they speak good English, and they always make fun of your accent. It happens all the time. We are not aware of the culture, but there is a huge gap between the parents. Do your best. If you're not able to teach them, at least in the weekend, bring them to the Islamic school. Bring them to the masjid for the many halakas we have, the Quran and Tajweed halakas, or the youth halakas, on Sunday at 6 o'clock. So there are some resources. Make sure you teach your children, give them some education, prepare them for the future, and this is the best legacy you can give them. And inshallah, we'll continue in the future. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعلمنا ما ينفعنا وينفعنا ما علمنا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا رب العالمين وأحسن أخلاقنا وأحسن أزواجنا وأولادنا رب العالمين اللهم أحسن خاتمتنا. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا الا غفرته، ولا هما الا فرجته، ولا مريضا الا شفيته، ولا ميتا الا رحمته، ولا شاق ولا شابة الا بحلال زوجته، ولا محروم من الاولاد الا باولاد رزقته، ولا مظلوم الا نصرته، ولا ظالم الا قصمته. اللهم اطلب باخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في سوريا وفي مصر وفي كل مكان يظلم فيه المسلمون، اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا، اللهم احفظ دماءهم واحفظ على الحق كلمتهم، اللهم امن خائفهم واطع جوعاهم واوسع رايهم، اللهم اشف مرضاهم وتقبل موتاهم في الشهداء، اللهم عليك بمن ظلمهم فانهم لا يعجزونك، واغفر اللهم لابائنا وامهاتنا ولاساتذتنا ولاصحاب الحقوق علينا برحمتك يا رب العالمين، وصلي اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه.